This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break telling greedy. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good night, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday except holidays on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96, and you can listen in wide cable on 969 Cable, Bahamas. And again, it's a pleasure to be your host tonight. And I want to say to all of the listening audience for the last weeks who have been having a conversation with as I travel through the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, very amazed and very appreciative of each and every one of you who, meeting me, have told me that they appreciate the work that I'm doing. Nothing is more important than getting the good praises of people around the country in all walks of life, you know, as I walk and people just hear my voice, you know, Mr. Ramsey, and they're just telling me that on the show they have learned a lot about an individual. They have learned a lot about how a person can change their life. They learn a lot about fairness, you know, like how I talk and I on radio, I'm always 50-50. You know, I always try to have a balanced conversation when it comes to the church, when it comes to the inner city, when it comes to me. You know, I criticize myself and all because, you know, you have to be able to criticize yourself in order for you to be able to see what's wrong in other people's life. Show them that there might be some mistakes they're making in their life, but first you have to admit that you're making some mistakes, and then you would be able to make better decisions and become a better person. And a lot of people compliment me on that, but I want to say to each and every one of you, I appreciate each and every one of you because those good words keep me going, you know, and I appreciate each and every one of you. I have a very special guest in studio tonight. His name is Mr. Ramsey. He's an advisory board committee at the Ministry of National Security, along with myself, under the tutelage of Dr. David Allen, and his assistant, Ms. Kiva Battle, which are doing extensive work when it comes to the crime situation in the country and finding solutions. And Mr. Ramsey, who's in studios, has been a model citizen in the last 15, 20 years, but he also is a Bahamian, went to America, got himself some problems, spent some time in prison, but you need to hear his story. And we want to talk a little bit about that and to hear his story, but we also want to hear about the solution that we have provided for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas under the tutelage of Dr. David Allen and his assistant, Dr. Kiva Battle, which was presented at CARICOM. Now it will be presented here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to the cabinet, to the Honorable Philip Brave Davis in the Capital of the Bahamas on some strategies and some solutions that concerns the country. And there are many people on board the committee. You know, I can remember some Cleopatra Christie, Terry DeLanzi, Eric Fox. We have Pastor Higgins, you know, who by far is one of the greatest community leaders in the country. He does his part in his particular constituency. You know, he does his part. So many great persons who have the experience and capability of carrying the country forward as leaders, you know, are part of the committee and has been given the committee extensive information to the Minister of National Security. And I think that we are making some slow progress, but some progress. So I want to say a special thanks to my partners in the inner city community, Bahamas Wakes, Franny, Keith Sands from Rotary, and Mr. Russell, also from Rotary, who's the outgoing president. And all of them are part of the Rotary. And I'd like to say to the Rotary Club of East Nassau, which is the greatest Rotarian in the country. They support me, been supporting me for years, and we're getting the help of you in a better relationship. And they're helping me clean up the area and do some programs in this community. And we're going to see a lot of progress in the upcoming months, and you're going to be very pleased with the progress in the Grantstown community. So let me introduce my guest tonight, and we could go from there.
Yeah, awesome. Scroogey, so thank you so much, man. It's an honor and a privilege to
be here. I can't hear you. Let me see. Go ahead, talk.
Mic check.
Go ahead, try it away.
Yes, I was saying that thank you so much for having me, and good night, our fellow citizens of Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Thank you guys for allowing me to be a part of this this beautiful show. Yes, my name is Ramon Ramsey. I am a native Bahamian, and as Scroogey said, I was born here in the Bahamas. I actually grew up, Scroogey, on Wolf Road, across from Lucky Food Store between Market and East Street. And so those are my stomping grounds as a child. But, you know, unfortunately, my mother being a victim of an abusive relationship while I was 5 years old, my siblings, my mother, my two younger siblings and I, we fled to the United States. And as a result of that, that's where I got into, certain forms of corruption, you know.
Go ahead.
Yes,
go ahead.
Sir. Yeah, so, when we got to the United States, of course, my mother, she didn't understand the terrain at all. You know, that was a brand new place for her. And so when we got to the airport, we ran into my father's brother's wife. She was also coming from out island. So we met up at the airport. I can remember when I was 5 years old, my mother started crying, you know, when we were standing there, man, because she really didn't understand or knew where we were going. You know, my mother left the Bahamas with $600 in her pocket, you know, and the most valuable possessions that she ever owned, which was her children. And so there we was, man, in the airport with my Aunt Eleanor standing there, and she was like, "Wees, what you doing here?" And, you know, my mother broke down crying and said, I'm running from Rudon. And that was my father at the time. Years later, I would find out that he was abused because his parents died. And as a result of that, he became the hurt person that others, projected when they projected their hurt on him. And so there I was, man, 5 years old. We stayed with my uncle for just a short period of time, you know, because, of course, when we got there that night, he was like, "Man, what are they doing here?" You know, and him and his wife got into a fight that night. And so while they were going through what they were going through, of course, we shacked up for a couple of weeks. First 3 weeks, my mother, she got a job. Mama used to literally walk from Laifaki to out east, if I could use that example, just looking for gainful employment. You know, she didn't understand the transit system. And as a result of that, when she got her first job, the first thing she did was bought a car. She financed a vehicle and was paying something like $25 a week. I thank God that she had got that car, because a couple of weeks after that, you know, that car became my home, you know.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. You know, so again, that car became our home, Scrooge, and we literally used to sleep in front of what we call Piggly Wiggly's. That's the equivalent of your Super Value over here, or Solomon's Grocery Store.
And,
yes,
go
sir.
Ahead.
Yeah,
we
good? All right, mic check? Okay, yes. We on over here.
Yeah,
okay, all right, there we go. We had to share the mic first, but we made it work. That's how much we love the people.
Yes.
That's what soldiers do. We make it work.
We make it work.
Yeah. So as I was saying, that car became our home. And so we literally used to sleep in front of a grocery store by the name of Piggly Wiggly's every night. And my mother was so strategic, because as soon as the law enforcement used to ride through the parking lot, right, just to make sure no one was vandalizing or breaking into the grocery store, as soon as he exited the parking lot, mommy would strategically drive right behind him and find our spot for the night. We slept in that car for about 3.5 months. Shortly thereafter, man, we got an apartment, one-bedroom apartment, and it was, of course, it was in a marginalized community.
And marginalized community. What do you mean marginalized community? Yeah. You came from the Bahamas, right?
Yes,
which
sir.
Is marginalized, right?
Yes, sir.
Now
yeah.
you're going to the U.S., which is marginalized.
Marginalized.
Anything similar?
Right. Yeah. So you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So we're running from one box into another
no box.
You understand? Small square.
And you're
you
in nobody over here.
No one at all.
Wow.
You see? So there I was, man. And so the dudes that surrounded our community was hustlers.
Hustlers. When do you say hustlers? What do you mean hustlers?
Yeah, so hustlers, and you know, it's anyone that has a product. That hustle is just that the product that they hustle was dope. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So they hustle dope, you know what I mean? And I was surrounded by pimps, of course.
Pimps?
Who, pimps, guys who actually had...
Prostitutes?
Women, and they prostituted women, you know what I mean? So
so that's what happened in...
Yeah, this was going on...
This is a new experience and...
For five-year-old.
Yes.
This is what I'm
five-year-old.
Saying. Five-year-old, right? And so also guys who were murderers and gang members.
Mm-hmm.
And
so the gangs now, the gangs, we're all this in
yes,
together.
All this going on at the same time.
And a lot
time.
Of drugs too?
Drugs galore. You know, that was the United States.
Similar to the
similar
Bahamas?
Similar to the Bahamas, right? That's right. You know, because you know, if U.S. sneeze, we catch a cold.
Right.
So we catch the sister children.
So what are we catching? Modern cold and we catching the flu.
You understand what I'm saying? That's right. You know, yeah,
yes.
man. So
okay.
So there I was, you know, 5 years old, and I'm just taking all this in. I really don't know what the brothers are doing. But the truth be told is I figured if I could just do whatever it is that they're doing, because it looked like they had it together. I said I could at least stop my mother from crying.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things I didn't share, if I could back up a little bit,
go ahead,
when we
go ahead.
Step in that car, I used to watch mommy cry like every night.
Yeah, she's crying because when she look at you guys, she wanted to provide the best for you guys. You know, you could be in a nice house,
yeah.
2-3 bedroom mm-hmm. With the bed and the TV, you know, not in the car. And so it makes her feel less than a woman.
Yes, especially coming from the Bahamas.
Yeah, yes.
Everyone else doing woman. Well home.
Yeah.
And here there's she in the city of dreams, yeah. the United States.
Lying
sleeping
of opportunity
in the car.
And sleeping
you know?
In the car. So
the shame,
yeah,
the guilt.
Shame and the guilt.
The rejection.
And then looking at you kids. You're looking at the kids in the car. You can imagine.
Yeah.
And you know, a desperate woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, who loves her children.
Yes.
She would jump in the water with an alligator and
yes,
saves that child's life.
So true.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
She had gone harm's way
mm-hmm.
To protect the child. They show a woman on Facebook lift a car off a child.
Yes, sir.
They don't know
that,
where he got. Where did she get the screen from?
That's
is that fake or that's not real?
That's real, man.
That was real, right?
Love. That's right. Out of body.
Out of body. She didn't know where she get the screen from, right? You watch
right.
it too, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
man.
See,
yeah.
it's the truth. The screen, mm-hmm. she didn't know where, man, she saw a child. Man, look at she.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, my brother.
Steve, man. Yeah, screwed you. So, man, I seek to be the best, whatever they was doing.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to become that. Again, mm-hmm. in my five-year-old mind, I was a man child. So I said, listen, if I could do whatever those brothers doing,
mm-hmm.
I could at least stop mommy from crying. You know, they had the best cars. They had the best clothing. They had the best everything. So I thought, you know, and so from the ages of 5 to, you know, 16 years
mm-hmm.
old, that's exactly what I did. You know, I became the best version of what those brothers were doing.
So what you saw, you became a virgin.
That's what I became, you know, product of my environment.
Product of your environment.
Yes, sir, that's what I became.
Because that's your teaching. That's like in school. Because
that's right.
this is where you live in. This is what you're seeing across the road. This is when you go to the food store. You're seeing someone get shoot. You're seeing someone get robbed. You're seeing
yes.
prostitution.
Yes,
you're selling, seeing guys selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing guys getting beat. In physically,
yes,
yeah, and a lot of verbal abuse. So all of this is manifesting in your mind, but you're seeing the survival here, and
exactly.
yeah, okay.
Yeah. You know, because children learn. To be honest with you, we always tell children, "You do what I say." But children are visual learners.
Mm-hmm.
They watch what you do and they emulate you. You know, and so that's exactly what I was doing.
And this was in the U.S.
This was in the U.S.
What if I tell you what you're saying right now? It's the same thing happened in my life.
Yes, sir. Wow.
There's nothing you're saying different besides you being an American, I've been raiding the
right
Bahamas
here, right
in
here,
Grandstand.
Right. Mm. Ain't that something? So it doesn't make a difference where we at. If
the environment is not fit and has the right tools,
mm-hmm.
You would be seeing the same cycle over and over again. But
so
go
true.
Ahead.
So true. No, I agree with that, man, because... like I said, between the ages of 5 all the way to 16, Scrooge, you know, I the streets gave me a name, Al Capone.
Boy, if you get a name like that, you got to be doing something right.
Yes, sir, man.
Al Capone.
You know, You know, and in the streets, you know this well, Smoogie, that bad is good.
Yeah, bad is good in the streets.
And good is bad. You know what I mean?
Good is bad.
Yeah,
that's true.
You're right. So I was rewarded for being bad.
It's more like you're doing the devil. The devil work is more rewarding than in the city communities.
Exactly.
I mean, the streets.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You know, and so I lived up to that name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, I seen this as much as you have, man. People murdered in the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had at least 6 assassination attempts on my life.
Wow.
You know, when guys, I'm sitting in the car. Rivals shoot the whole car, but by the grace of God, right? At first, I thought it was me being evasive,
yeah,
or not, you know, being shrewd or slick
and but getting away.
Yeah, getting
you figured out it. You figured it was going.
In the long run,
it's 23 times for me or more.
Yeah,
getting shoot out with different rivalry. So we on the same page.
Exactly.
And you figured out that getting shoot out that you thought like you was invincible or evading, but you go ahead. What you felt after a while? You saw there was an intervention with somebody, right?
Yes, sir.
Or something.
Because I came to the end of myself, man. You know,
Go ahead.
Sir, I came to the end of myself, right? But I'll give you a little more of the story before we get into that.
Yeah, before you get to the end of yourself.
And so, you know, I used to journal a lot. Whatever I saw in the communities, I was a young rapper.
Wow.
You know, and I used to go into a music studio and going into that music studio, I'd do 3 takes, come back, then do block parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just writing what our story was. And so as a result of that, I started at 19, I had acquired about $1 million.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And so I took the skill that I had from journaling or writing as a young rapper, young hip hop artist, and I had a bigger vision. I said I didn't want no moms and pop store. You know, I didn't want to do what I saw the average dope dealer did.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I went into Savannah State, that's in Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I found guys who were going to college for engineering, going to school for management, going to school for production.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped to those guys and said, listen, do you guys want to join my team? And we started, and they said, yes, of course. And we started Sloppy Tight Entertainment.
Wow.
I was one of the only young brothers that was inking a deal with Blockbuster Video back then in the 90s.
Stop that.
Yeah, man. I was on my way out, you know. Yeah, right there, you know. Yeah.
Man, amazing.
Yeah, you know.
Amazing.
Yes, sir. You know, so on my way out,
$1 million.
Yeah, man. You know, I touched it. You know, and so, but I wanted out, though, because I didn't have no peace in the process.
Yeah. Why you say no peace?
Because I realized, Scrooge, I used to be in one time I spent Christmas in 3 states, right? I would find myself waking up in the mountains of North Carolina, flying down to Florida because I yearned to be in the streets among my peers who wasn't doing as well as I started to do, right? And then, but when I got down to Florida, Miami, driving through the hood or being around certain people, I wanted to be in Baltimore. So I realized, later on, I'll tell you the story, because I was incarcerated, I was running from myself. So I realized that I had the money, I had the women, I had all the fans, the people calling my name. But even in the crowd, I was still lonely.
And same thing, familiar.
See?
Get to the top, be a top gangster, one of the top gangsters.
Yes, sir.
Selling a little dope, get a few girls, but you're running from something.
Something.
Because doing wrong or doing wicked, you never gonna be satisfied.
Never satisfied.
No, you're not gonna be in peace.
Never.
You're gonna
never
be cursed. You're gonna be miserable.
That's right.
Bro,
that's
miserable.
Right. Yes,
wherever
sir.
You go, police could come.
Yeah.
I say you could be, listen, you could be living in the suburbs and the police still could find you. You don't know how. It's just that you get a bad curse on you. Anytime
that's
you go against the principle of the father, you're gonna be cursed.
That's it, man.
Forget about it.
That's
if you don't go and do what's right and live accordingly, you're gonna be cursed.
Ain't no question.
I don't care where you go hide it.
That's right. You can't make wrong right.
You can't plant
apple seeds
and
get oranges. You know, and so like the scripture say, whatever man reap it, and then it tell you don't be deceived. Whatsoever man sow it, that's what he'll reap.
That means whatever you do to somebody or whatever you think it or whatever. It's coming
it'll come back.
So if you do good come back
to
you. If you do bad,
yes, sir.
Bad is gonna come back.
Most definitely.
All right.
Yeah, man. You know, so I was working on my exit strategy, man, during this time.
Yeah, exit strategy. Now
you
had enough now.
Yeah,
just
I want out. Ain't no peace.
Yeah.
You know, I figured, well, at least let me level up a little
bit.
Let me get into my music. I found a love for it, for telling the story of the community. You know, so I became, through my music, a community activist.
Wow.
I would express the police brutality. I would express the injustices that was going on.
What's good? You see what I'm doing?
Yes,
I'm doing the same thing, and we can talk a little bit about the police situation.
Yes.
We can talk some good, and we can talk some bad if you want to contribute to it, but go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. So to speed it up a bit, Scrooge, I was indicted, though, in 1996.
Indicted.
I was indicted.
Well, I wasn't indicted, no, but yes, you did some big charge.
And then I was indicted by the FBI.
Oh, for man. That so you did it with federal, you did yes, with federal time.
Yes, the federality. They call them the Alphabet Boys.
The Alphabet Boys.
You know what I mean? And so the first indictment, they indicted me because another guy implemented me. And I was facing 10 years to life. Mm. You know, no drugs, no guns, and nothing like that.
That's the RICO. The that's, RICO. That's like the RICO.
They came,
yeah.
First, they came with the distribution. And then, but I beat the first indictment because after we suppressed the evidence, of course, there was no audio or video like they had alleged. And then after I beat the first indictment, then they came back with the conspiracy.
Yes.
They would have done the RICO, but the RICO required five or more people.
Five, yeah, yeah.
And they couldn't find five or more, you know what I mean? So yeah. Conspiracy is equal to RICO, but easy to prove.
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. They indicted me on the conspiracy, and I was facing 57 years to life.
57, man.
57 years to life, man. I elected to go to trial, of course. I went to trial. And as a result of me going to trial, I beat one of the
indictment
the counts. Yes, on indictment.
Federal charges.
Yes, federal charges, and they sentenced me to 32 years in federal prison.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was sentenced to 32 years in federal prison at 23 years old. Man, the height of my music career, the height of everything, you know, the red carpet was pulled from up underneath me.
Man,
you know,
everything was going good for you.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, right then was working on my exit strategy. You know, trying to get out of it.
But the bad come back to haunt you.
That's it.
At the minute you were trying to help success,
the reaper comes back.
You see it come back? Just when you think,
yeah.
I want to get out of this.
Yeah.
But there's a price to pay, but it and I'm still working out in your favor, but go ahead.
That's it, man. Yeah, so I used the word came to the end of myself because I realized I had done everything. So once I entered federal prison, I went into the worst federal prison in the United States. That was USP Atlanta. If you Google it right now, United States Penitentiary Atlanta has since been shut down. You see all the corruption.
I heard about it.
They shut it down.
A lot of murders, too.
A lot of murders.
Exactly. I heard about it.
There we go. You know, and that's where I met people like Petula Shakur, Tupac Shakur, brother. That was one of the guys who mentored me in terms of black history.
Wow.
You know, I became acquainted with people like Vicky and Nikki Stoffel, Philadelphia crime bosses. A lot of bankers from Barclays Bank and Luxembourg. The trade-off for us was this. I had been in for a little while, right? And so these were what they considered reputable individuals in society, even though they were mob figures, they were still business owners, people from Barclays Banks. And so what they would do, they'll teach me their business skill set, and I would give them consolation in terms of... So it was a
what
it was
the movie
a
name now with my beloved actor, the dark actor, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, Morgan Freeman. And he had Shawshank
Redemption.
Exactly. You see?
Okay.
Because I come from, again, I come from the hood.
Okay.
And so, but what I got is I got street sense, right? And I got common sense. These guys got academics.
Mm-hmm.
So the world that they just found themselves in is not conducive to what they went to school for.
Oh.
They made some missteps. Because rather greed or whatever, people like Bernie Madoff. I was around Bernie also when he came in, you know. So I would surround myself with these guys because this is what they considered the creme de la creme of society, even though they went rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because these were people, prestigious people that the world looked up to, write movies and books about.
Wow.
So these guys were my mentors in there.
Wow.
You know,
and in prison. Wow.
So I took the knowledge that they was giving me, and I would speak to their classes because they would hold like business classes and things like that. In prison.
So this was really good. These like individuals in prison, giving back to the next generation who they know will be coming back on the street so they don't make a mistake again like what they made before.
Exactly, because the reality is when they saw that, you know, some of us were just regular people. What I mean by that is we would have never crossed paths on the street, some of us.
Yes, because of the statute in.
Because of the statute in, right?
They're millionaires.
But because we all made some missteps, We got a all common goal. That's right.
Yes,
no man left behind.
We will get a
bond.
That's it.
There we go.
That's what prison does.
There we go.
That's
and so it does. Kind of binds us together. And that's really what tough times do for people. Mm-hmm. So we all were facing some tough times. And so I may have either the word of God. I mean, because I started to really get into the word. You know, I wasn't really on religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll distinguish the two, right? Religion is where we know God. We believe God. Okay, but, you know, James 2:19 say you believe that there's one God, you do well. Even demons believe and tremble. God is looking for personal relationship, and that's what I needed to enter into.
Oh.
The life that I had before, I couldn't just do church. I couldn't just go set up, get a quick message, and that went over. I needed a transformation to take place in my life. You know, I needed that hole on the inside of me based on what I seen, what I've been through growing up, fathers, seeing
the world. Get out your heart, get out your mind.
I needed God to come on, come in on the inside of me, really make a difference. You know, so so transformation is what really got me to the point. But I came to the end of myself. I said, listen, man, whatever guy's talking about, you know, that party, that chick, that girl, that money,
that
I don't
want to
hear about
more.
That. You dig what
That's
I'm
illusion.
Saying? Exactly. You know, I need something that, that can fill the hole that's on the inside of me, that loneliness. And that's what God did, Scrooge. I gave my heart to him, you know, months after I got in there. And he came in on the inside and really, 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 really make a difference, made a difference in my life. You know, so I'm forever indebted to him, man, because he showed me that he's real. Mm. It doesn't make a difference where you at. I always tell people this. Most people may be free, physically free, but they mentally incarcerated.
Yes.
You dig what I'm saying? So that means that he hadn't come in yet in order to break you out of that jail. So he came in the jail and broke me out of the jail cell of me, the low emptiness that I was facing from a child all the way until my incarceration.
Wow.
And he made a big difference in my life, and I really appreciate that.
Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing. I just want people to listen to the story and see the similarities that we're facing in the country today.
Yes.
And he is an expert. And we both are on the board of the Ministry of National Security. And we are both giving suggestions along with Eric Fox and I think it's College Readers
College
also there.
Yes,
and many others is there. And this gentleman, you know, he is on board the Ministry of National Security. And I feel that persons like him are very important to be paid consultants, even though we're doing it free. As advisory people on the board, you know, we're not getting paid for it. But his experience in the prison system, his experience on the street, ties similar to my situation and many and thousands before us in the Convent of the Bahamas are similar. And now we are making a presentation that explains all these things that starts from abuse from a child at a very young age. We have over how much abuse case in the Bahamas from 2020 this year alone. I think it was like 50 or 60. Could even be more reported abuse, sexual abuse, child abuse, and et cetera. And it starts there. And we are always trying to say, you know, how are we going to get ahead of crime? First, we need to understand where crime starts from. It starts from the community.
Yes.
Then it starts from the home. Because, you know, the gentleman just spoke about leaving the Bahamas here and going to the U.S. in a similar situation. At the age of 5, he went in the neighborhood looking for a better way of life. But when they went there, you know, there were drugs selling here, there were killers down here, there were rapists down here, there were pimps selling female, you know, and he learned these things in that particular community. And same thing happens here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And most people would say, well, you know, that's because you made that choice. Listen, in these communities, if a child is growing up in these communities, doesn't have a mother figure or a father figure, and a stable home with the right income, and the mother doesn't have the hustle the way she has the hustle, you know, if she's probably financially set and married or has a decent boyfriend and they both have decent income, you know, most people provide the best for their kids and their kids would probably turn out good. But when you see it's a separation where the father's not around and the mother's trying to take responsibility, the mother's not around, the father's trying to take responsibility in a harsh community where it's high unemployment, where drugs are selling, where we have an abuse from an early age, a child abuse, right? Where the older generation, where there's no employment, in that community alone is training that he or she child. You're training a young girl out there that if she want to be successful, she would have to sell her body. You're training a little boy out there, he's seeing it with his own eyes, that if I want to be successful, I need to go sell drugs. Because they're not seeing no politician. They're not seeing no NBA players. They're not seeing no doctors, lawyers living in these particular communities who are doing very well or and coming to them and nurturing them and talking to them. What they're seeing is a bunch of poor people all around living in the community.
Yes.
This one stealing from this one. This one fighting from this one. Mm-hmm. This one praying on this one. This one killing this one. Mm-hmm. This one rowing this one. My mom and dad are fighting. Mm-hmm. They break a boyfriend and girlfriend fighting over their brothers. Mm-hmm. Two brothers fighting one another. So all this is programmed, along with the poverty.
Yes.
And this alone is why we today facing high unemployment, today why we're facing like 100 plus murders per year. We are facing a couple hundred armed robberies. We are the highest per capita per rape in the country. Yeah. You understand? And we only in a 21/7.
Yeah. Wow. That's deep.
You understand?
Yeah.
With a population less than a million. You understand? Venezuela is one of the richest Caribbean countries in the world, dollar for dollar with the U.S. And right now, the Bahamas are going to be even richer now because, you know, Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, was down here, and she wanted a better relationship with the Bahamas. So let me show you what's going to happen to us now. Just because Russia formed an alliance where they're trying to get rid of the U.S. dollar, that in that part of the world, the U.S. want a closer relationship now because they don't want the Bahamas to be in alliance with Russia. So they're going to have a stronghold in this country. That means the U.S. money is going to be flourishing in this country now.
Yeah, so true.
It's going to be tripling in this country now. So this is a great opportunity for us in the Caribbean and Haiti and Jamaica right now to take advantage of the opportunity that's going to be presented to us. Only if our leaders understand that they're going to have to invest directly and get the crime situation each and every country down. Yeah. And you're going to have to invest serious money into it so that you could invest in persons inside the country who are doing programs, help them so they can help themselves, so they can help others in these pockets around the country.
Yes, sir.
And you are very important. I hope that, you know, you are part of the Ministry of National Security, that they understand the importance of us and say to ourselves, you know, man, we have given them top class information that they're going to present to Parliament. Okay? We need to get paid, man. But it's not about getting paid. But if the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas is paying, I listen, they're paying consultants in the millions. But what happened to us being his consultants? What happened to us? But we working and giving solutions to the country's problem, and it's going to be made legislation, and the government's going to follow that legislation. But I was saying they're paying so much different consultants. What happened to the small man consultant? Yeah. See, the problem is when we run away from people like us who give the solutions, we talk about it, we know what the problem is, we find a solution. But how are we going to act? We're going to diminish us, act, and push us aside and hire other foreign consultants to come in and talk about the matter that we solved and we give the information for. And then we make no progress, because when we get cut off, there's no progress made.
Yes, yeah. You know, it's so true, Scroogey, man. I think I heard some of the other brothers say before, I think Brother Fox and a few others, Pastor Burroughs, they spoke one time about how you know, government had brought in consultants to teach them, right? But they asked them the questions
and we gave them
as to what they should be doing. And then they gave them the answer, then they went back and gave that to the government. You know what I mean? It's just a deliberate slap in the face, because like you say, we got specialists. Yeah, the Bahamas is a very, 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 not just wealthy nation, highly intelligent.
Highly intelligent, solve our own problems.
Wherever
easy.
We go, we dominate. You know, but oftentimes, sometimes those who
in the power
in position don't see the value.
They don't recognize
in individuals
us. They don't
like
recognize
us to make, you know, to help this problem, to eradicate this problem. We got the solution among ourselves. The thing is, we all need to sit down to the table, right? And if I was government, let me just throw this out there.
Go ahead.
I would create a conglomerate.
Conglomerate.
I would bring conglomerate. I would run it like a Fortune 500 company. I would bring in guys like yourself, myself, and other individuals
around
sit
the country
down at the table and say, listen, here's what you do. Here's you the project manager XYZ. This is what you do. This is the lane that you run in. And this is what you'll be compensated for the year. Now, it's up to you to make it work. And like any Fortune 500 company, if you don't produce, I fire you.
We fire you.
You know, but at least let me give you that opportunity.
Let's see what you can do on camp.
Let's see what you could do. That's right. This your stomping grounds. Make
let's
it
see what
happen,
Mr. Higgins could do through his community.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But this is what should be done.
Let's see what college we could do. Let's see what
exactly. Because it's gonna we got a national crisis, so it's gonna take everyone to put their hands together. No one or two people can
solve
this problem. You know, and no foreigner can come in
and
tell
solve
us what's going on with our problems, with our people.
On the piggyback on what you were saying, okay. In 2013, I learned right back to this again. Me and Mr. Christie wasn't speaking. You know, he was on bad terms because I told him, I said, sir, you're not doing the stuff we talked about when it comes to real community work, as they say, empowering and et cetera. So they brought in some specialists from Vienna, Austria, on behalf of the Bahamas government to do a pilot project on see how they could tie in Bay Street within the city. You don't believe they can find no one in the country to take these people around in the inner city community.
Wow.
The Royal Bahamas Police Force mm-hmm. was denying access to these people because of the high crime alert in the country. Mm-hmm. They was not allowing them mm-hmm. to come in the inner city community.
Mm-hmm.
My name is mentioned in the office of the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And when my name is mentioned, I already took many people over the years in the crime infested community, and they were treated with the utmost respect, mm-hmm. and my name is mentioned.
That's
and when my name is mentioned, mm-hmm. the Royal Bahamas Police Officer said, oh yeah, man, that young man, he works in this community, everyone knows him right now. Mm-hmm. We would allow the students from Vienna, Austria, call the community right now, we would allow the students mm-hmm. from Vienna, Austria
mm-hmm.
to come into the community, along with the University of the Bahamas, along with people like Rosemary Hanna, Miss Palm Burnside,
mm-hmm.
and et cetera, a whole heap of people, you know,
yes.
from Iran, the office of the prime minister and all.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a walkabout for a program and study and research for about 6 to 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And listen to this. The students from Vienna, Austria are considered the most smartest set of people in the world.
Mm.
And when you see the cool spot that they're doing, the repairs and the sidewalks,
yes.
the Archbishop William Thompson Park,
mm-hmm.
The development of downtown, all this was a part of the work being done by myself as a community leader.
Yes.
I took them along with my friend Nate McKinney mm-hmm. around in the inner city community.
Mm.
And you know what they said?
Mm.
They did the Urban Design Lab, which is the Overland Initiative,
mm-hmm.
tie in Bay Street with Old Hill. To create empowerment for the inner city community in Bahamas at large.
Yes.
You know what the people said?
Mm.
The people said that the best work they ever did is when they came here in the Bahamas and worked with me.
Wow.
Here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Man, that's powerful.
And they asked me, say, are you getting paid as a consultant?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they told me?
Mm-hmm.
They say, we make close to $1 million. Say, you, if you was in our country, mm-hmm. you would have been a millionaire. Mm-hmm. Say, you would have been a hero in our country.
That's the truth. Scrooge, all the guys that was incarcerated with me that's out now, they're motivational speakers, they're empowering communities,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing well for themselves in
wow.
the United States right now.
Let me see if you take this call. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good night, good night.
Rich, I can't pronounce your name.
It's Valentino Brown, but it's...
Okay, Mr. Brown. I've been listening to you for some time. I'm called Austin, as I said, or should.
You can turn on your...
I know you're a man of the community, and you do a lot of stuff, right? You just have one question. When you're doing your initiative in your community, do you have to pay for the usage of... I don't know where you do it. Whether you do it on a park or wherever. Do you have to pay the government for the use of that area or that space?
You mean if I have to pay them...
Pardon me?
Excuse me. You're saying if I have to pay...
Let's say you're using a park in the community as a resident, right?
Yes, ma'am.
To do an initiative. So you think it's fair that you will have to pay the government?
No, for the use of the park?
Yeah.
No, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am, that can't happen.
Yes.
Wow.
That can't happen. You can't pay.
I'm telling you.
No, not the
this
public
is something
park.
We're dealing with now. Our park that we use, we send a letter in, right?
Yes, ma'am. You have to send it to Rosen Park and use it.
Pardon
yes.
me?
Yeah, you have to send a letter to Rosen Park and use the park, but they can't charge you the park.
They can't even charge. So, I mean, this got to be a joke.
It's got
somebody
to be a joke.
Come and bring it back, throw it in the booth, but it has to be a joke. I wish you could take that back and say it's a joke.
Yes, the park
it's
is for
so
the public.
Far, I take it back. Pardon me?
That's for the public. That is free. No one's supposed to be able to pay to use the park.
I said, you know, you're having a community initiative. And you have to pay $1,000, not $100, you know.
No.
That's a joke.
That's got to be a joke. That person must
I am telling you now. So we continue. That's all I have to
yes,
say.
Yes,
okay?
yes. Yeah, you yeah. push that. You push that, ma'am.
Right,
you push
then.
That. Yes, ma'am. That's
okay,
wrong.
Thank you. Mm.
Thank you very much. That's wrong.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You know, as much as we need people to do community programs in the community.
Yes.
And now a group wants to use the park to make something happen positive for the community.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're charging them.
And you're charging them?
That's crazy.
No, man, that's not right. That's not
crazy.
Right. We need as much people who are doing positive programs in this country
mm-hmm.
as possible.
Yes, sir.
To have free access
mm-hmm.
to the parks and, you know, and try not to charge the people for even giving away stuff to the kids and stuff right now, you know?
I agree. That's crazy.
You know?
Wow.
That's crazy.
Man.
Where we were at?
Yeah, yeah. Where were we, man? I think we were just talking about how we have the CIRM solution
right
now among us, you know, in terms of coming up with comprehensive plans and approaches
mm-hmm.
to resolving some of the issues and plights that we have here in our country. You know, we're on the ground every day. Like you say, we're doing this for free. We're doing it anyway. You know, so why not, you know, gather that intelligence and put us in a position where we can be empowered to empower the community even more.
And watch this. This would pass on because if we were to get empowered and we're giving them information, there would be other people who step up to ask other community leaders. But we would study them and teach them. What I mean is that,
yeah
you might want, say you want to be a community leader, but you might want to be into money.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
We could figure you out and say, yes, hey, no, I don't think he's appropriate for the job.
There we go. Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's just trying to do mm-hmm. it for the money. We're mm-hmm. not interested in that. Or he's doing it for politics.
Yes.
We're not interested in that. We want people who's in sale.
Yes.
They could get their sniping, but they're making progress in their community.
Exactly.
They don't have no favorites.
Yes.
You know, when they get a sniping, they go mm-hmm. door to door. Mm-hmm. They find the problems and try to fix it best way possible.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? They're not being biased towards nobody, you know, because, listen, I'm not biased against nobody in my mm-hmm. community. You don't have to like me, but anyone can tell you, I still can help you the best way possible no matter what, because I understand that in this process, it's not about me. It's about me. What I say is about me showing people that this is the way to live as a human being.
And you've been doing it for
quite some
time. And
that's what I've been doing,
I applaud you, man.
Yes.
The work that you're doing,
yeah.
you know, in your community.
I don't believe I better than nobody. I stay walking barefoot. Mm-hmm. People look at me. You know, I grind my hair now, so I look a little picky now, you know. So I say I grow my hair now, so I can look a little picky for a little while. But
just being original.
Yeah, just being original
you,
now.
You know,
yeah, I want to get my bearings back, you know.
Yes,
my antennas back. Hair's antenna.
No, that's right. That's a fact, though.
It's antenna that give you senses, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't even notice, you know, hair does not die. I couldn't believe it. Hair does not die. Even when you die, hair does not die.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's crazy, eh?
It's amazing.
It does not die.
Yeah, wow.
Wow, crazy. But anyway, you're
so,
doing...
So much to science, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Ramsey, you know, you explained a lot. You talked about the situation similar to the bombers, our mm-hmm. life intertwined. You talked about how much time you were shot at, and then you get to find out that, you know, you thought you was elusive, but you find out there was a divine power mm-hmm. saving you, and I guess you figured you got shot one time
mm-hmm.
or two times, and probably you should have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
Me, 23, 24 times, or even more than that, I've been get shot out from rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I realized that I thought I was the baddest of them.
Yeah.
But then I realized, I say, hold on now. If I supposed to be one of the baddest, mm-hmm. how come people taking shots at me?
Wow, ain't that something?
So you know what that meant? Them guys just like me.
No
and
question.
If I don't watch out,
mm-hmm.
one day I could be in the grave.
Ain't no doubt, man.
So I had to come to realize that, hey, that's just an illusion. The devil got me. But you guess what I say?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I say?
Mm-hmm.
Time for me to find my way out.
There we go.
Got to work understand?
Your extra strategy.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you explain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the similarities are basically the same. You know, now you're contributing to the development of the country by coming back and being a part of the Ministry of National Security Advice, and you have your own particular program.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And I think that the information that you provided us here in the Bahamas, you know, being a U.S. citizen and coming back to the Bahamas is very, very important to us because, you know, we get a balance now to understand that what's happening in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
what's happening in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you also talked about... you was an activist for the police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to be an activist for police brutality when you live in a community where you see murders, you see mm-hmm. drug selling, you see prostitution, you see pimps, you see
mm-hmm.
all this stuff?
Yes.
Why would you want to be an activist
mm-hmm.
To speak out against police brutality? I know it's a crime-infested area,
yes.
so the police probably is right on the way they're approaching the situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're dealing with some dangerous individuals.
Yes.
So... Yeah, I'm trying to be a devil's advocate now. So the police probably is doing their job
mm-hmm.
the right way.
Yes.
Or they're doing some things wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, I would say that, you know, there's no one size fit all.
No, okay.
You know, and sometimes we got to get to the root of a matter.
Okay.
You know, we want to understand the situation. You know, we can't come at everyone with aggression.
So
aggression will always be
so not everyone
aggression.
In the community deserves to be... gun pointed and licked down. No, there are criminals in the community, but
yes,
you need to approach each and every individual based on your research and based on
exactly.
their background.
Exactly, yeah, because I respect law enforcement 100%.
Okay, I like where you come from. We making sense. Go ahead, go talk.
Yeah, so as a result of that, though, we have to understand that they're to serve and to protect.
To serve and protect.
Serve first, though. You see what I'm saying? And to protect.
So what's to serve?
Well, serve is to understand that you've been employed by the citizens. of the Bahamas, right? To be effective in the way you communicate, the way you interact, and the way you protect that community.
So in other words, when you say surf, that means I miss and run a red light. Police put on their sirens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a minor offense. Officer jumps up the car. He say, excuse me, driver, turn off your car, please. Mm-hmm. I say, yes, sir. And then he would approach the car and say, good night, driver. This is just a small traffic offense, but what is your reason for running the red light? Mm-hmm. And then I'd say, but officer, I was in quite a hurry and I was trying to go to a meeting. And then he said, well, okay, I'm going to decide if I'm going to give you a ticket or not. But based on your attitude here tonight, mm-hmm. and you give a good excuse, I'm going to give you a pass.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Based on an officer jumping in the car, mm-hmm. pulling their gun on you, hey, driver, get in the car! Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. You're in the car, and then you have a children in the car, so you know it's only a traffic offense. Yes. Drive it! I say, get in the car! Oh, shoot! So, I in the car,
yeah.
I go react differently because there's an officer, put that on!
Yeah, the same energy.
Shut your motor!
Match the energy.
Shut your motor! Officer, mm-hmm. I say, shut your motor! Officer, So that's what you're talking about.
There's a way to go about doing everything.
Okay.
Not because you're the authority. Means that you have to overexert your authority.
Okay.
You know, wisdom says, especially for trained individuals, of course, mm-hmm. You want to go home at the end of the night as a law enforcement officer. Right.
Right?
And anyone in their right mind will want to go back home to their families, and I respect that. But you have to understand the energy that you give or the hate that you give, sometimes you'll be met with the same hate.
Because you're supposed to be de-escalating the situation,
exactly.
but you make
right.
the situation worse. Yes. Because people are looking at you but serve.
Serve.
And protect. So you're supposed to be serving on how you approach the individual.
Exactly.
Because if you say the wrong things to the individual, I will get upset knowing that you're supposed to serve me, but mm-hmm. you're not serving me. You are pressing me mm-hmm. because I can't even ask you a question, officer.
And then we don't know. We all going through stuff, right? From COVID, just a
relationship problem,
stuff, whatever it may be. So the person may have a root cause. They got something they're going through. You know what I mean? The way you approach that situation could determine everything. You know what I mean? The outcome mm-hmm. of it, that is.
Okay. Yes, doctor. I could use me as an example. It was in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I thank the station for not firing me. Mm-hmm. You know, I just recently got in the station.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately had an incident about 3 years in where I got charged for 4 or 5 different charges.
Mm-hmm.
Disorderly behavior, resisting arrest, obscene language, and a couple other charges.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this. And I was completely innocent. It was in the newspaper. I won my case. I got charged.
Yes.
7-9 months later, I won my case. Mm-hmm. The judge apologized to me and said that the officers were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just explain the instance, let me explain the incident. Mm-hmm. Everyone know about it. It was on Facebook, you know, because the news thing was coming to the court and they record everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the situation. I was doing some repairs on my building,
mm-hmm.
My restaurant, but I'm building through Lewis Creek, mm-hmm. almost complete. And I hired a few guys because my people say, you know, they want to help me, and I always want to help guys in my neighborhood. So mm-hmm. I got 3 guys, 4 guys to come in and assist me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys, you know, had on his new tennis, so he took his tennis off. We were mixing some cement and put his tennis on the roof. Mm-hmm. You know, I buy them lunch, you know, everyone got tired, drink some beer, some mm-hmm. smoked a little weed,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it was all good.
Yeah.
So now the tennis was on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And after a little while, everyone dispersed because, you know, I don't keep them waking long. You know, I used to put in a couple hours and mm-hmm. get off early, you know, mm-hmm. and then we see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
So everyone dispersed. About an hour later, I heard my friend Jerry come to me and he say, man, Daddy Scrooge. You ain't seen my tennis, say. Mm-hmm. Nah, I know no one's teeth, none for me, or move, none for me.
Yeah.
You know, so I say, man, your tennis is on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And he went down. I said, man, Dan down.
Yeah.
So I said, boy, if Dan down, I know what it is. Yeah. I say, so mm-hmm. we started to ponder. And we know each individual in the community. We know who is a thief or who is a murderer. We know who is this and that. So mm-hmm. we know because mm-hmm. of who was there.
That's right.
So we ponder me and them. We say, it ain't Sonny Ford. It ain't James.
Mm-hmm.
We say, it's boy.
Mm-hmm.
You see? They say, only can be boy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he say, must be boy. So anyway, he gone looking for boy, because mm-hmm. boy live right across the road.
Yeah.
And he went to Boy's house, and Boy wasn't there, so he couldn't go inside. Mm-hmm. So what happened is he left, and he went looking for Boy. And he asked Boy earlier, if you see my tennis? So Boy tell him, say, no.
Mm-hmm.
So me and him, he come and call me, say, Boy, I believe him. You know, daddy school. I believe this nigga. I know he get my tennis. You know? Mm-hmm. So I said, Boy, I can't tell you ain't getting tennis. I said, yeah, he might, but I can't, you know, I laugh at him. But you know what I mean? He said, man, who laugh, but it's a serious thing, right? So, so anyway, I believe he get my tennis. And I said, Boy, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you can't, if you ain't see him yet.
Yeah.
And he said, don't put your hand on him, because you know what gonna happen, right? So anyway, now, he ain't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to go to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was looking.
Mm-hmm.
So he gone to the house. And the same time he gone to the house, my little girl was on the porch, which is the niece of the guy who owned the house, who he accused of moving the thing.
Shoes,
so now he gone, because the little girl, we know everyone in the community. So he asked the Boy there?
Mm-hmm.
So she say, no. So he say, tell me something. You see Boy bringing any tennis in there this color? The little girl say, yeah. Say, Boy, best bring him dinner. Say, he got him high. Really?
Oh, my goodness. Children.
What's this?
Goodness gracious.
Just, so she sure married the tennis, right?
Oh.
So, Jerry, I hear Jerry. Jerry come. Daddy, see, I tell you, you get him.
Oh,
I tell
man.
You, get him. So now, this is a jokey part. This is a jokey part. Mm-hmm. Boy, we could lie.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Jerry by me standing up. So he said, Boy, waiting to see him, but I could beat him so bad. I said, Jerry, leave him, man.
Yeah.
I said, let's leave it, man. You get tennis. He said, no, man. He just me tell us he ain't more tennis thing. You know how many accusing people and all that, man. You know what I mean? So I said, anyway. So Boy, he come walking. He spot Jerry. He spot me. He come running down. Boy, Jerry is looking for you. Say, man, I go around the corner there. And man, if I get tennis, this nigga was hitting coke and he doing it.
Let me put a whole story together, right? He got a whole story.
So me and Jerry hanging out, man. So Jerry said, Oh, why you lie so much? So Jerry grabbed him by his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry grabbed him. Jerry, excuse my language, right? I promote no violence, people, but this is the best I could do.
Yes,
tell Jerry, don't chuck him up.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want me to do? I say, man, Jerry, slap him or punch him in the book, right? So Jerry grabbed him and punch him in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry go out to pick up a piece of stick. I said, don't chuck him, Jerry. I said, hit him with a stick across his back or across his leg, you know, because you know you're going to end up hitting me head, right? Because I laugh, and this is a jokey thing to me, right? Because, you know. So anyway, he get on his shirt, tear off his back.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry whap him across his back, and Jerry pick up a ball and wrestle out together. But he punch out, but he punch him loose. Must he make it with 150 miles per hour?
Getting away from him.
He was going to turn to a shortcut.
Yeah.
He was going so fast, he beat on the bush, made across the road.
Made a new path.
Quite
well. Goodness gracious.
But he got him off of his back, so I said, it's good for him. So Boy, he gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now I killed myself laughing. I said, Boy, you see that? Boy, you lie.
Mm-hmm.
So now I in my own yard, my yard fencing now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you. And that's what we're talking about right now.
Yes.
My yard fencing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now Jerry say, so Boy Pete back, he come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
He get to walk me back. So he come Pete back on the road. He all out, yeah, because he's shame now. So you see everyone laughing at him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he come back on the road, yeah. You think this over? Say, I got you to the station now. I can tell him you put a gun on me and you robbed me. And this is what he's saying, this is words now.
Yeah.
Now listen, he dead wrong.
Change the narrative.
He dead wrong.
Wow.
He dead wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he said that, Jerry say, my daddy, he was a community leader.
Mm-hmm.
He got in the station with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first one reach.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry tell me, say, Daddy Suji, I can stay by you and I can wait for the police to come. I want you to let him know exactly what happened. Yeah. I said, man, no problem, man, I can deal with that. Because I think it was nice, man, I can deal with that, man. I said, when the police come, you just don't do nothing.
Yeah.
Open the gate. I said, stay in his yard, don't go on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I said, stay in his yard because they come in.
Mm-hmm.
I said, stay in his yard and open the gate when you see them. But I said, you're going to take a bath.
Yes.
All right? So now, I ain't even gone 5 minutes. So, quick as I reach the bath, I might throw the water on me.
Mm-hmm.
All I hear, see him over there. That's what I get here.
Mm-hmm.
Same over there. Same one now who steal the tennis, who dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He bring back the whole force now.
Yes.
Now I in the bathroom. I in the bathroom naked.
Mm-hmm.
So all I hear is Jerry all out. Daddy, they come in there. It's called me daddy. I have many different names. So he said, Daddy, they come in. He called to the bathroom because my bathroom is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting on outside the side door.
Yes.
So he said, Daddy, they come in.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they come in. I said, listen, don't do nothing. I said, when they come, open the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I let them come in, and I come in with you right now to talk to them.
Yes.
He said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I see, right. So I had all the soap on me. Mm-hmm. So that's what caused a little late. Because I tell you, I was bathing. Mm-hmm. So I had to try sort of water over me. So the water come on, they washing my hand and go on my eyes. So I wiping them towels. So I trying. How you put them in boxes? Mm-hmm. I couldn't even. I get my boxes on and put them pants on. Mm-hmm. A barefoot. Mm-hmm. I'm a single on. Nah. When they start to come out to go to the back door where the altercation was happening with Jerry, I started to hear, Officer, what happened? I ain't doing nothing. Let me explain. Mm-hmm. Wait on daddy.
Wow.
He could tell you. The officer to them, shut up, get on the ground. And all you guys, let's stomping.
Yeah, wow.
So now I come in with holding up my pants, because my pants, I ain't got no belt or nothing, you know. Because I leave my belt in my next pants.
Yes.
Remember, I tell you, you're going to take a bath. So now I come to the door, I open the door, my door is locked. When I open the door, there was this police. He had this big, long, automatic shotgun, right? And he had this, and he had it pointing to the door, to my face. So I say, good day, officer. You know what the officer say? Good day. The officer say, get your hip on the ground. And he got his big, long shotgun in my face. I said, officer, excuse me, what the problem? Get your... I said, officer, what you... So I got... Now, listen. I do nothing wrong. I only my yard fence in. The guy who did the crime, who steal the tennis, is the one who reported the crime to the police station.
Yes.
You understand? Now, I ain't do nothing.
New case.
Now, I get a big shot. I get police, armed police in the yard, with my fence in the yard, with them knee on the back of Jerry with a big gun point in the back of his head, right? Me now, who ain't had nothing to do with nothing, I got a big 12 gauge in my face. You understand? So I moved the gun on my face. I said, officer, what the problem is? Officer, you know what? I said, get your hip. And I said, officer, going for what? I said, officer, give me a second. I'm going to explain that this. I ain't that. Get on the ground. Y'all get a gun. Man, so he, I still in my house. So I said, but I ain't got no ground. I said, but you got to shoot me if you want me going to the ground, because I ain't got in the ground. So when he see that, he said, you what, shoot you? So he tried, he grabbed me by my shirt. So when he grabbed me by my shirt, I grabbed him by his tonic. And I ain't going to lie after that. All hell break loose. You understand? But look what they try to explain to you. You think of them officers, when they reach my yard, fencing. They should have respect enough to stop that. Now I understand that. This guy run the station and say someone rob him and put a gun on him. I understand them coming back like that. But you just said this. You got to do your proper investigation. And I, as a citizen, you say you're supposed to protect and serve. Where you protect and serve me? Show me where you serve me and show me where you protect me. Show me where you serve me in that incident and show me where you protect me. Show me where you serve me. If you'd have served me, you'd have listened to me from you coming in the yard and you see me in my back door, you would have said, excuse me, sir. What the problem is. Let me talk for a second, and then you'll get a good understanding. So you waste all the court time, and you cost me about $10,000 what's supposed to be for my roof. You understand? And they lie in court. And the police them lie in court. And they say, I was the one who was the aggressor. And they lie in court. And luckily, I had to witness them to come and testify, and everyone come and testify in court and say, no, it ain't that way. Volunteer, you had nothing to do with it. And they go on the court and they win my case. And the guy who is the criminal who steal the tennis, they put a warrant out for him.
Wow.
So now I know but that can serve. We can take this one call. And then we go back to that topic. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, what's going on, Scoozy?
Everything good, boss.
All right, you're listening to you. I hear that one before, but I like how you humanize it, right? So you know you have a little bit more rights where you live, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's what I'm saying is, but I want to do a counter narrative because they had a reason to hate. Like, you know, like, it's a gospel according to the person putting in the report, right?
Yes.
All right, so when they go to the station and
voice
you
one reach
from the inner city, the police, you know, when they get these stories, they you know, somebody had mentioned this. I don't know if it's the lawyers or not, but you notice they never do no investigation to exclude you, but always to include you. You know, like when you was always accused of something, they would never go out any, make any measures to exclude you. You know that, right?
No.
Yeah, right. So now,
but they going on their way to do Kirk Cornish. They going on their way to do Kirk Cornish.
Hey, Kirky, Scoochie.
Hey.
Do you ever let them know, like, you know, your name is ringing up in CID. CID. You understand? Don't let your name be ringing. Or they get mixed up, say, they hear I speak with bugs, right? But it wasn't no bugs, it was buds. So you see what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to tell you is, a scenario was this. I was in my early 30s, and, you know, I was living with the old man, the lady, but, you know, I was doing some things, so I moved out to my apartment. So they didn't know I got this apartment. Me and one of my boys, we worked together. This is, his brother is a CID nigga, too. So we live in the ghetto. You know, we burn a little weed. We just go to work and come home. So, the I don't know if the people who own it, you know, the neighbors, them, it's a 10-plex or whatever. We downstairs, so we burn weed in the evening time. So it was my birthday that night. So my brethren, he opened up the kitchen door, the Eastern Road, facing the kitchen door. So he went up this big giant, right? It's good. I said, why you close the kitchen door? I don't want to work and see what the giant is. So I said, my birthday, I got to watch Doomsday Gun, right? So I went up in big spliff, you know. Man, then I look around 3 or 1 o'clock here, boom, 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 boom. So they come there, right? Come to find out some outlaws is living there before I move in there. But it's a decent place. So
you get it, boy.
I curse them out. They say, man, I curse somebody. See what they have. They say, but I don't know your... Boy, when they tell them, like, boy, they try to break down the door. I go up and the big sofa against the door. It's great, Scoozy. Try to reach the door. The time we had a little piece of...
I believe some blare on there.
Everybody in the bar, see the little piece of weed, right? They're trying to breathe through the screen, like, the thing, right? They trying to kill it for a piece of weed. And they did get inside through my bedroom. He a little older than me. They put him on the ground, stomping on his neck with the Uzi T neck. I said, but all that necessary. I said, but you understand what I'm saying?
Same thing happened.
How many times they try to put big long gun in your face for what? But then they say, go off. These people need to be humanized, my brother. That's all they're trying to shoot. For a little piece of weed. That's what they're trying to shoot. They almost killed me for a little piece of weed. A couple of times. That's what they're trying to shoot. Now they want to sell it to me. And we got to be very these people, man. Society can't dictate nothing moral to me no more, man. Schools. You see the impositions, the transgenderism in the schools. Society has lost its moral compass, man. Yeah. Give thanks. Yeah. I respect it, but the brother you had on going.
Yeah, no, you're right. I can let him talk with that. Let's go
for bless up, man. I listen to him, you know. The brother moved me, too, because in the first hour when you came on, because I did an age where I live to learn what he's talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And things that don't move me. You see, they saying because, like, when you sit aback, almost like God in the sky, you can see the stiffness in this life which you live in, you know. You can see the stupidity and the folly in this life, you know.
Yeah.
That's why you got to be more spiritual, but you can't get old and be fooled. But like, listen to the body, you know.
Yeah.
What they say in the school, we need to. You see, they don't want the cameras on them, right? Now, I can tell you this. Me and you grew up respecting the police, school, you know that.
Yeah.
So we ain't believe in that shit, but them pushing up. Fighting the police and all them things that respect you to the police, my brother. Let me show you something.
I can talk about that right now. That's why I'm waiting for you to finish.
Some of them don't deserve that, you know.
I know. That's why I'm going to talk about that right now.
Them crowd who push on the police and push down the police and fight the police. That's why I tell my old man and tell you, boy,
Dinkus,
you know, Dinkus, our boy who dead, who live around you, right?
Yeah, Dinkus.
Yeah, Dinkus. And Gary, they try to get me to join my old man, let me know. Talking about all these GC you got, you could put me to the side, you know. But I say, man, you all can't pay me to run shooting, jump after the one. I tell you, if that was me, I just can shoot someone in the car. You know why? I have real, that's real reason to fear.
I want
to
talk about that.
Suppose someone knock on them in the air with the rock and take the gun.
Yeah.
That's when they're supposed to, they need to take them niggas and put them on the desk, man, because they ain't ready.
Yeah.
They ain't ready physically, they ain't ready mentally, because I just got to either one warning shot or one shot in someone's foot, and then I just got to shoot them for life. I didn't make no sense I'd be a police if I can't protect myself.
Yeah.
That means you have no respect for me.
Yeah.
So that means in a riot situation, you ain't ready.
Yeah.
See, you could riot, and you could be civil or disobedient, but you got to know when the whole... The fought with the law.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying, Scoozy? And our generation, who they thought was worse, they can see the curse.
Yeah.
They can start a flame that they can't even tame.
Yes.
Give thanks.
Thanks.
Bless,
thank you very much.
Bless King.
Yeah, I'm going to let you talk. I just want to finish this up real quick.
No, good stuff, crew.
What he talk about is very important because I'm not against the police. Mm-hmm. What I saw on social media, well, the crowd was trying to overthrow the police. I'm not for that because you got to respect the police and they Now, it goes two ways, why I'm saying that, because you have an unruly crowd. You know, they're not listening to the police officers, and the police officers have to maintain their authority, okay? And to the crowds, you got to be very careful how you be facing the police because they have the right to protect themselves.
Yes.
You understand? Mm-hmm. And we need law and order in the country. And in that instance, looking at the footage on Facebook, you can see where I feel that the police is over-aggressive. And you can see where the civilians was over-aggressive, you know. And I would say to the officers, you know, you need to be more properly trained to deal with situations like that. And I would say to the crowd, you know, especially the ladies and trying to organize the police.
Mm.
The police don't shoot in there. They shoot to kill. You understand? So you have to be very careful. You know, I just explained the situation with myself and many people are before the court now for a lot of these same charges.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the police will woke these situations. And sometimes the civilians is be really disrespectful to the police.
Yes.
And the police have to respond in that type of manner. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you go right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I also want to say this too.
There was just a recent shooting where police took the life of a 17-year-old who, according to the reports, were in the attempt of robbing an establishment where the police was patrolling. Was the police officer right for engaging the young 17-year-old who is in high school or in school? Was the police wrong for saying that this is the police, put down your gun, and then the 17-year-old who was actually doing an illegal, serious criminal offense where something that seems easy, but once a gun is involved, it can be very deadly for those who he went and pulled his gun on or go to rob this establishment. It could be very well any one of those innocent people who just came to the establishment to sit down and have a nice meal where they approached and robbed by a 17-year-old who, by the way, probably was one of us when we talked earlier who come from disenfranchised and he decided to go into the life of robbing.
Yes.
I'm suggesting to any young guy out there, don't care how things tough, okay? Don't go take a gun to go rob somebody.
Yes, sir.
You understand? There's no need. I mean, that could be that. Just listen to me. Look at the next person. They could be a brother. They could be a sister. They could be a mother. They could be a cousin. And anything goes when you go to rob them, because a person who goes to rob, his intention is to get away. And if anyone hesitates in the front of him because he is trying to get away, he will pull that trigger and will eventually end up killing somebody innocently, and then they will continue on the path. So I'm saying the officer to me did the right thing based on the information that was provided by the news report, and the news and the media. The officer was right. And in my regards, I give the officer 100% for protecting the citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bond. That's protecting slavery there. Because he also tried to save a young man's life by telling them to put down the gun.
Exactly.
And the young man was actually doing a serious criminal offense of armed robbery.
Yes.
But again, our job is now to stop young men from that 7 years of making that decision before they get to that extent where they're going to try and rob an establishment where they would lose their life or take somebody's life. So to me, the officer is a hero. He saved the lives of many partridges in the establishment. He is a hero in the Royal Bombers Police Force. I know that he is not happy taking a young man's life, but the young man had a firearm and he fired the officer.
Yes.
This is what we were trying to do. We were trying to stop those type of situations happening to our young men and our young females. Mm-hmm. Let's change their mindset that they don't have to go pick up a gun to go rob an establishment in order to make a couple dollars.
Yeah,
we got to have better options. Yeah. I want to say thanks to the Royal Bombers for this particular officer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said, I watched the Facebook footage where the civilians were actually touching the police officers and being rude to the police officers. I think that's a no-no in our country. Yeah. You want to say something? You want to take this call?
Yeah, take this.
We're going to take this call, and then we're going to have let you up the last thing. Okay. Go ahead, call. Oh, I end up cutting off. Sorry, my bad. Call on my bad. You could call back. You could call back, my bad, and I'm touching the button. My bad. So you could call back. Yeah, so like I said, in that incident, the officer was right because he was in the line of duty. He was off duty. And 17-year-old came to a rob. And I want to give my condolences to the family of the 17-year-old,
yes.
You know, because I know at this time, you know, they're ready to start, you know, still someone they loved.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's not going to be coming back home.
Yeah. So sad.
So it's very sad. And I know that the officer, he doesn't feel good about it either.
Not at
taking
all.
A life, that's finding out that he's 17-year-old. But what other choice does he have?
Yeah.
When a 17-year-old comes into place, he told him to drop the gun, but he decides to shoot.
Yes.
You know, and that's the mindset that we need to change in the country. We're going to take this call on Guardian Radio. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasant good afternoon, Scrooge.
Good afternoon.
Sparky here. And to your guest, you know, Scrooge. Listening to y'all talk about these situations, it almost scares me when compared to the time when I grew up. I grew up with some of the guys that you do, like you got to know, like Jeffrey Lloyd and them.
Yes, I know.
We all grew up around the same time, went to different high schools, but we all grew up together back in the 60s and the 70s. I'm 72 years old. And when I listen to some of the stories y'all tell now, it puts me in fear because When we were growing up, we never even saw a policeman with a gun, much less people walking the streets with a gun. Mm-hmm. The only police back then had the gun was the people with CID. And they were people who had to conceal their guns underneath their jackets. Like they wore more like suits, you know, neckties and coat suits and stuff compared to the other policemen who only had something in their pocket we used to call a billy, which is a baton. Hello?
Yes,
we used to call it a billy.
Well,
That
finished in our time. I remember they used to be walking the streets with the baton. That stopped because the gangs came out.
Yeah, with a little strap hanging outside the pocket.
Yeah, a little short billy like that with a little string on the back with the hole they had. That stopped in the early 80s.
But I tell you, they hit you with that baton. That was so solid.
They give you come woolly bump, man.
they hit you on your hand with that. They put your hand on the wall and hit you across your neck.
You know they crack you in your head with that one, the hard stuff, man.
That's like getting hit with a piece of steel.
And they used to put it across your bum too. Your bungie too, you remember?
Or they hit anything with boners.
Yes, sir.
That's a crunch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. When I listen to y'all too, it's scary because, at 72 years old, I have never really seen anybody be shot. Mm-hmm. I have seen things on Facebook, on WhatsApp and stuff, with guys laying on the ground in puddles of blood on the road and things.
All their brains
in picture form. But I've never seen nothing in real life. Because nobody in my age time had no gun.
Yes.
We hardly used to hear about people, any murders. Anybody went to murder, we used to hear about the cat nine tail, and when they come out, they never want to go back to jail.
Yeah, my father got the cat nine tail.
And they say the cat nine tail when they lay down on it. They said, when they find you guilty, you get 6 straps of that cap 98 going in. And when you leave and you get 6 straps for that, and they say, that was so painful, you never wanted to go back to jail.
That's why my father never went back to jail.
Now they say the fellas come out of jail with ankle bracelet and go back 3 and 4 times.
Yeah, because the youths that may take
They call it repetition or whatever they call it, recidivism or something.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when I listen to how my country has changed, I grew up in the time when marijuana started to become popular.
Mm-hmm.
Joints of grass for $1 each.
Mm-hmm.
Half a bag of grass or this or that and that. When smoking grass was the big thing. Then the drugs started coming in with the cocaine and the MX
and the Quaaludes
and the acid and all them kind of things started coming in. Now, I never got far with the drugs, but like everybody else, the younger guys tried the marijuana. And then after that, when things started to get tough, I just quit. I say, Henneken is legal, Rotman's is legal. I can smoke my Rotman's and drink my Henneken. Because in those days, I'm screwed, you was afraid to embarrass your family. You had families that everybody in the valley knew family names. You couldn't hear that Vince Fountain, Sparky. I didn't even have a nickname then. But Vince Fountain was Granny and Jean's son. You had to get him for drug on grass.
Yes, sir.
Big thing. That was a big thing. That's almost like murder.
Yes, sir.
So you was afraid to even let your family know that you were associating with people who used to smoke grass. When I came out of the school...
A lot of strange, Sparky. A lot
of... Yeah, but see, they screwed. When I came out of school, I started hanging out with the guys on the blocks because I got my little job. I ain't got to study no more. I just go to work, come home. After work, I ain't got nowhere to go other than nightclubs.
Okay.
So you end up sitting on the blocks with the guys. And I remember one night, we were out by the Birdland. And these patrol cars just pull up there. And we was not smoking. We were really just sat sitting there talking. And one or two of us were smoking like a Rodman cigarette. The next thing I know, we was down Bank Lane. First time I ever got arrested. Okay. Down Bank Lane and Mr. Crawley. You know, you ever have a Fields, Crawley, Knox and them?
I know but Knox. You from Barbados or Trinidad?
Yeah, from Barbados.
Yeah, so I know. So you know, I know what I'm talking, right? I born in '74, so you know, I catch the last part of that. Ain't nothing I catch. I catch '74.
Knox was supposed to be
'75, '76.
Knox was a foreigner from Barbados. Yes, so he's supposed to be the meanest fella here.
Yes.
And they took us down Bank Lane, sitting on a green, the green bench. You got to sit over with your back up against that wall. But apparently, Mr. Crawley, he must be noticed my face looked like somebody he knows. So he said, "Who you is, boy?" I say, "My name is Fountain." So he said, "Now, which one of them Fountain is your pa?" I say, he said, "Alfred." I said, "No, it's a Gene." "Oh, Gene is the tall, slim one." "Yes, sir." He said, "Come here, boy." And you know, they talking to you, "Dad, bad."
"Yeah."
"Come here, boy. Come here." "But I ain't young, you know, I around 17. "Come here." "But I go on there, yes, sir. If your pa know you down here on Bank Lane, you know what's going to happen to you?"
Mm-hmm.
I say, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do me a favor. I ain't worrying but the rest of them who you come up here with." I said, "But I ain't do nothing, sir." He said, they bring you here, and I ain't worrying but they just, I said, "All I can do is tell you, you see them steps?"
"Yes."
"I want you to get downstairs. And
okay.
When you hit Shirley Street, I want you to run up Shirley Street, over Centerville, and on Madera Street, and inside your house."
"Okay."
"And guess what, Scrooge?"
"Hurry, because I got to go.
Exactly what he said to do. I run home."
"You did the right thing."
"I was scared."
"Yes, sir."
"But them fellas back in the day, they was mean."
"Yes, sir."
"I see fellas fighting police now."
"Yes, sir."
"No, not back in the day."
"I don't want to say thank you. You did a wonderful job." We're taking a break on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. When we come back, we have Mr. Ramon Ramsey in studios. He'll do the closing note. I'll let him talk the last few minutes, and then I'll hit one more thing before he comes on. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Inner City on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Right between Rest and Augusta.
People, what you thinking?
We want something different.
Uh-huh. People, what you wanting?
We want local government.
I can tell them no more slunking.
We want the function.
I can tell them no more joke.
I forgot.
Gone down Blue Hill Road. Gone down Village Road. Gone down Nassau Road. We want local government. We want local government. We want local government.
Share the love.
We want local government.
We are called for local government.
Sign the petition and find out more information at risebahamas.net.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
We're back on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun. Most people know me as Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey or Daddy. There's so much nickname I have. And not to get us confused. The original Scrooge is Kelsey Lundy. You might see him, and many people might hear his name, and they might get us confused, but he is the original Scrooge. Like I said, it's Ebenezer Scrooge that was given to me from a European. My original nickname is Scoochie. Kelsey Lundy is a good friend of mine. He was a former gang leader. He turns out to be a very nice guy. We are the best of friends now. He lives Gibbs Corner. He has a wonderful wife, Melissa. They have their restaurant and bar. I should go down Gibbs Corner on the left-hand side. So that's Kelsey Lundy. I want to give a special shout-out to him. I want to also give a shout-out to my good friend Marvin Bodie. Everyone knows him. That's the chief. We call him chief. He's on top of Mason Hill. I want to give a shout-out to my good friend Blacker down in Bantam. Bantam is also one of the former leaders of the Gunhawks. You know, most of these guys I'm talking about are actually leaders. But now all of them now listen to the show. All of them, they really appreciate me. So, and my gratitude of assuring the next generation how enemies can become great friends.
Yes.
And these guys who are talking about, they were top guys over me.
Wow.
You understand?
Yes.
Even though I'm a top gangster, these guys were top gangsters over me. So, yes. Kelsey Lundy, a.k.a. Scrooge, my boy, good friend Marvin Bodie. We go way back. Marvin Bodie tried to kill me a few times, you know. Yeah. Kelsey, too.
Yeah.
All of these guys tried, well, at least we tried to kill one another,
yes,
okay?
Sir.
But these guys try to kill me more than they tried to kill them.
Yes,
you understand?
Sir.
But I will give a shout out to all of those guys, you know. So when you're traveling, you hear the name Screwed sometimes. Look, you could tell the difference. That's Kelsey Lundy. Mm-hmm. Kelsey Lundy, okay? And I'm Valentino Brown, you know. Most people call me Scoochie, Scrooge, or Scroogey, or Daddy, or MP. You know, I have so many names, but anyway, I just want to say that. Last but least, I just want to give a real talk about why so many people, you know, really want the police to serve. And to serve means that we have a report about a young man who served time in prison, and now he's freed after appeal. He served some years in prison. Come to find out the young man was innocent. His first time getting locked up, probably got in custody, was brought on some kind of investigation against some criminal charges. But sometimes people who fail inside police custody, they are claustrophobia. Some people who have the experience, like a veteran like me and you, who know about the system, we know about the beating that's coming, we know about the questioning. And we used to the lockup. You know, we could spend 4 or 5 days in the cell and don't feel no way because we used to that. We know how to talk to officers in a nice manner, but if officers aggressive towards us, we know how to defend ourselves in the station. So when you are in custody of the police, your attitude can decide if you get a police arrest, police brutality, or you don't get police brutality. But sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes the officers just stink. You know, we have a lot of decent officers on the Royal Bombers Police Force who I respect personally, but there are some things going on in the station for many years, even when I was getting locked up. And I can relate, you know, especially to the fact when this young man stated He spent time, he got released based on his appeal. And in his statement, he said that he got beat, got tortured to give a statement, you know, and which in turn caused him got a conviction.
Yes.
Because, like I said, some people, their first time getting locked up, you know, they don't know about the procedures. So the police sometimes use that tactic, the interrogation, to their benefit. And sometimes people crack over you when innocent.
Yes.
And you can make them say anything while they're in custody. Yes. And this is what goes on. I don't think the police officers have no rights to put their hands on no individual that is in their custody.
Yes.
Unless that individual is being unruly and uncontrollable. The police has full authority to do what they have to do if a person is being disrespectful. The officers doing discretioning or saying threats of harm against the officer. As long as the officer is not saying threats of harm towards the civilian, because in the station, you have officers who threaten civilians and threaten prisoners, you understand? And put their hands physically on them. Then you have officers who protect the civilians.
Yes.
So it's a two-way screen. I just wanted to say that, you know?
I agree with you, and I want to weigh in on that, and I want to share if officers
are listening. This is your partner. All this is you.
You know, so if officers are listening, or anyone for that matter, first and foremost, we have corruption in almost every organization, every arena. Not just street organized crime.
So don't blame us on the streets, gangs.
Exactly, right? Because, and secondly, I want to say this. Whenever officers do that, I'll give a story. When I was incarcerated, one of the things that they didn't want them to do was to come in, because I was in USP Atlanta, which was one of, like I said, the worst federal prison. And one of the trainings, because I used to work for the ward, and I had the Joseph experience.
Because you're the boss.
Yes, sir. I had
Al Capone?
Al Capone, right? So I had access to a lot of the material, training material. And I realized that if an officer incites a situation, they could put other officers
at risk.
At risk at a later time. And so you have to always take into consideration what you're doing in the dark, because it could come out.
The
chickens could come on the roost at a later time. And it's only a matter of time before you conduct yourself a certain way and treat people a certain way before people start to act out beyond lawlessness. So always take into consider that no one is not expendable. You dig what I'm saying?
That's
like
why
anything could happen at any time.
That's why we're seeing the young guys fighting against the police now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we don't want it to get to that point, because whenever people start to lose that type of not
respect,
fear, but reverential fear for law, that's a dangerous place. I've seen it in the United States. You know, that's when you got young boys shooting at the police. And we don't want that here in the Bahamas. If we don't have to get to that point, let's not get here. Like I say, what's happening now, I've seen it happen before. But we don't want, preferably, again, that's why we do what it is that we do. We get with young boys. We try to, you know, get
change
them on another
mindset.
Path. Change their mindset, because we don't ever want to see the Bahamas becoming what the United States is or already become. That's extremely dangerous for the civilians as well as for law enforcement.
Yes, because it's a prime example with this the latest shooting incident, because like I said, The young man ran in the establishment with a friend, with an accomplice. Mm-hmm. And when he pulled the gun, there were people in the establishment.
Yeah.
The officer, the off-duty officer, mm-hmm. Mentioned that he's the police. The 17-year-old, on hearing that, and see, this goes back to what this 17-year-old has experienced in his life, seeing in this community, and through his trauma.
That's right.
And he know he's going to get shot or someone's going to. So he react. The only way he know how to react, and that was to go and fire that firearm.
Yes.
The officer is a trained officer.
Yes, sir.
And he was able to shoot the young man, and mm-hmm. he subscribed to his injuries.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset what you're talking about right now.
We have to try to debunk that. Like you say, man, we got to get to the root of it.
Because that's right.
I tell people this, right? This generation, unlike us, Scroogey, they could get on their cell phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And never leave. They could never leave the Bahamas, but leave the Bahamas.
Yeah, so now
they got, you dig what I'm saying? So now they got whatever the vibe is with drill rappers in New York, California, Florida. They got all this. Right, and now this multifaceted identity now that they have acquired through this device, this social media device, culminated with their own peer pressures right here at home, right?
And no morals after
and no
that.
Morals.
No morals.
You understand?
No morals.
That's it. And this they living out what they seeing.
So they become demons then.
Exactly.
Like how we were demons.
Exactly.
When we were misguided.
Exactly.
And people don't listen. I was a demon, people.
No man, we were demons.
We were demons. Y'all don't listen to me.
Yeah. No.
I was a demon.
Ain't no question about it.
I was a demon.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't have no love for anyone who was mad at me. And you understand? Like I say, I wasn't a thief. I wasn't a rapist. And I wasn't an armed robber. But when it comes to violence, you're mad at me.
Yeah.
Buddy,
yeah.
Dog, eat your lunch.
And
eat my lunch as well.
This would make us fit to go out here and become the serum solution for these young brothers.
Yes,
we know what they lack.
That's why the Ministry of National Security get us as advisory. But they need to start paying us now, man.
I agree with that. Because anywhere else in the world, people being compensated for it.
We need to get paid, man.
Yeah, you know.
I ain't right, man.
Yeah.
You got to pay all the college read them and stuff like that, man. Come on, man. We on the level, man.
First line of defense, you know what I mean? And got the skill set.
And got the skill set. I'm doing these stuff to make a difference, man.
We're trying to keep the community and the nation safe.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing behind the scenes.
We got to get paid now, man. We got to get paid, Mr. Ramsey.
I agree.
We didn't give them the plan. What we talk about today is actually what's been happening in the country.
Discussing CARICOM and everywhere else. Yeah.
Come on,
the information that we give.
Come on, Prime Minister, man. You don't leave your behemoth. Consultants, so just giving all these people millions of dollars to consulting. What happened to us who working in these ministries and giving for his hand consultancy on the prison, on what's going on in the streets and how to solve it?
Yeah, definitely.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I would definitely want to say this too, because I
go
to the prisons every Wednesday, right?
Uh-huh.
Myself along with Dr. David Allen, because those brothers will be returning home soon. And so we in there doing, I don't like to say rehabilitation, life transformation.
Life transformation.
You know what I'm saying? Because if a person is rehabilitated, they could slip back to where they was rehabilitated from. Transformation means that there's no system for you to go back into.
Mm-hmm.
So you created
a new world.
That's
new
right. Where you become persons like how we are.
Know how to become a businessman. Don't need to go back.
Contributing to our community.
Yeah.
Go
sell
no
drugs no more.
Exactly.
You got out of drugs money.
Yes,
you got fish money. You could go be a fisherman, which is the real drug money.
Yes, sir. You know what I mean? So
fishing.
Even like we have a new prison coming on stream soon.
Yeah.
Right? And I would love to be a part of.
You should.
Of the consultant.
You should. Why not? Why should? That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly, I know from that end, and I know what it takes.
You
should,
man.
Transition.
Come on.
You know, so definitely, man. We
know how the young people think, and we know what they're thinking before they were thinking.
Before. You know, we could solve this problem, but we got to bring everyone to the table. That's the way to do it.
Wow.
We got the brightest minds in the world here, Scroogey.
Yeah.
People like you and I, we made a difference in our lives. We made a transformation. We're here doing, look at you. You've been doing this 10 years.
10
now.
Years, and I never had no skills.
You understand what
no
I'm saying?
No skills and whatever.
That's it,
but
man.
I'm good at it.
It's just your passion. You know?
And I'm getting better at it.
There you go.
You know?
So. We can duplicate ourselves, you know. So, but if we're empowered to do it, well, we can go out here and empower these young brothers. Because I'm here to tell you, this, Scroogey. Young brothers want to listen, you know.
But they need incentive. Any program you're doing now, I advise anyone. Any program you're doing now besides basketball or whatever, you're gonna need incentive.
You gotta incentivize.
You're gonna have to give
it.
Because these kids are poor and they're hungry, so you're going to have to be able to get them a sniping. Yeah. Any program you're doing besides that, even if it's an educational program, you're going to have to give these kids something. That's how serious it gets now. That's
to your point with that right there, I had a thing called getting at the root of program, right? Mm-hmm. Education had funded it partially, right? And the rest came out of me and Brother William.
See, all these great artists, man.
You understand what I'm saying? Because I create curriculums and programs.
See?
Also, we went and got 15 young brothers from the Hay Street, Ross Corner, Mason's Addition, 15 mm-hmm. young brothers, right? One in school, they weren't even on no one even knew they existed because mm-hmm. they weren't registered for mm-hmm. school, been out of school that long. So we put the program together, brought these 15 young brothers together. But some of them wasn't coming to the program in the morning because they didn't have a dollar.
They don't have a dollar.
Nothing to eat. So the first thing they had to do was go out and hustle or either steal to eat.
And they'd come there when they had a chance.
So what education did do, and I give this to their credit, right, Ms. Poitier and Higgins, who had supported the
awesome
program,
people.
Who believed in it, yes, sir. And so what they did do, they started giving them a stipend. Right,
and that changed everything.
And it changed everything.
It changed everything
because they don't have to worry about $150,
$200 in their pocket,
in their stomach no more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But you know, people want to make a change, but we got to give them a help up sometimes.
Yes, because we living in poverty. The people living in poverty, even though the program is good, but you gotta help snipers now to give the
gift. A man or woman can't hear you if their stomach growling.
The kids gotta get a car to go to Super while you get their grocery and stuff for they self. You know, because we have to be able to provide. That's how serious it gets now, because people are so poor and so desperate now, you just can't say, tell a person, come to a program. Why didn't Christ? Listen, see, this is what I understand about these people. Why didn't Christ have the bread and the fish?
Yeah, he fed
them
first.
You think anyone would listen to Christ when my stomach rumbling? Christ know that?
Yeah,
so what do you say?
That's right. And we got to get back to learning from the master. We follow the principle.
Look like we have the knowledge to see these things in the Bible, but these pastors can't interpret these things. Y'all can't have no program unless you got some type of, what you call it?
You got to have an incentive.
Sniping. Yeah, that's why Christ had the fish and the bread, because he knew those people. There, some of them were thieves, some were murderers, some were prostitutes, some were just poor people, some were good poor people. Mm-hmm. And he knew. Why would I want to come listen to you, even though you're the God? I know you're Jesus. Yes, I know all that. But right now, sir, Jesus is still in power and the taxes are high. Light bill high, water bill high. My children's stomach bubbling. Yeah. Yes, I love you, Lord. But right now, I got to go around the corner to see what I could eat a thief, what I could sell, what I could, whatever. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. But Christ provided the food, so they sit down to eat. They belly full, and they get food to carry home to their family. Mm-hmm. And he said all was met. Mm-hmm. So that means they were relaxed, so I could listen to the word of God, because I don't have to worry about nothing right now, because my need is met right now at this moment. Listen to this good word. So the word was able to resonate with me, and they was able to see that miracle, and the word was even to spread more than the 5,000 or the 3,000 people. So don't have these program churches or organization unless you have some type of sniping to give to these teenagers or to these kids to go carry back home. Because you understand? So that means when you go to government, that government know we have to have a sniping in these programs for each and every kid involved so that they can be able to take care of themselves. If you're doing programs with prison inmates, you know, I listen. But the inmates cleaning downtown, you know. The Acting Commissioner.
It's Claire.
Yeah, Claire.
Don Claire.
He made reference that they will be getting paid.
Yes.
The prisoners. And they should, because we cannot even use them, because they're going to come over.
That's right.
Don't just go and use them as prisoners.
Yeah.
Like how that was designed for. Mm-hmm. Use it to say, you know what?
Correction.
Let them go out there.
Yes.
Correction. And they get a sniping so that when they're ready to leave the prison, they could use that for the work they put in.
They leave with something. That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
We got to be our brother's keepers.
Yes, sir.
And they say, I was listening to Louis Farrakhan, and he said, the Prophet Muhammad was asked a question in his dying bed from one of his followers.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the question. He said, what is true religion?
Mm.
Huh? And guess what he said?
Mm.
True religion is do unto others as you have others do unto you.
That's it, man.
That's what true religion is.
Sir.
And that was, he said.
Yes, sir. That's powerful.
He said, do unto
That's
others right. as you have others do unto you. And he said, that is true religion.
That's real.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So to the police, you do a fairly good job, and in the bear, you save the lives of the patronage of that establishment. You're not wrong for that, the police. But as far as saying police brutality in the station, where you use your power to hurt persons are in custody, as long as they're not being disrespectful or rude to the police, there should be no reason the police put their hands on persons in custody.
Mm.
Here's police officers, they put their hands when poison in custody, the law should protect those poisons in custody from the abuse of police officer who's supposed to be protecting and serving is wrong, and we have many of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's abusive and disrespectful to the police, whether you're on the streets and or when the police approach you, if you're disrespectful, cursing them when they're asking you in the right manner, about a certain situation, and if they're not disrespecting you as a police officer, and you get on hand and be cursing them and carrying on, then the officer has the right to do what he has to do to protect himself.
Yes.
You understand? It goes two-way. Mm-hmm. But the officer being disrespectful, rude, and cursing at a civilian, that is not serving. That is unacceptable in our country. And for too long in this country, it has been going on. And we need to set a balance where we understand that you're here to serve and protect.
Yes, right.
Okay? Serve means listen. So what the individual has to say depends on the circumstances. If it's a murder or armed robbery, it's different.
Yes.
But when it comes to a civilian running a red light or a complaint being made to a host where it is not necessary needed for the police to be that aggressive,
yes,
where they could listen and not turn the situation into a situation where something that is peaceful and can be resolved by just asking a few questions is upended because the officer is very disrespectful to the citizen. And just as well as the citizen has to be very respectful to the officer when he or she is talking to the officer. If either one of them do it on either end, they're both wrong. If the officer does it, he should be brought up on charges. His next officer who on the scene, who see him abusing that citizen, supposed to step up and say, hey, you're wrong. And if he keeps continue to do what is wrong, he should be arrested by the next officer. And that's what we were looking for. You know, there's too much, what you call it?
Yeah, police brutality or
it is too much aggression. One-sided.
Yeah, yeah. So it should be a mutual respect.
Yeah. And before I close out, I saw the commissioner of police, Clayton Fernando. Good friend of mine, you know, and he's the commissioner. He's doing a phenomenal job. And he was making reference, I mean, the Minister of National Security, and he was making reference to the situation where he saw the abuse of the citizens with the police officers. And like I said, to me, it looked like the citizens were wrong for approaching the police officers in the wrong manner. But it also looked like the police officer at first, he was over-aggressive on grabbing a specific citizen. Very over-aggressive. And I think that's what rallied the people to respond that way. But I'm still saying that you should still respect the police.
Yes.
And there should be a police officer who is there to make sure that he is there to make sure that the police is doing their job in a timely fashion when he's out there in the public. So it's more like a supervisor's there.
Yes.
To see if the police officer is doing something wrong and see if the citizen is doing something wrong. He has to make a decision on whether the officer is wrong or the citizen is wrong. You know, and I see a lot of that, they ask for that in the States, like when they're saying, where's your superior?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, this officer's aggressive. We need to do that here in the country. So when you get pulled over the police and he's over-aggressive, I say, excuse me, I need to speak to your superior. Call your superior and let your superior come here and talk. Now, I'm not talking to you no more. I'm going to raid Rachel. I'm going to turn off my car. I'm not talking to you no more. I'm going to wait on your superior. Then when the superior come, I say, well, let the officer talk first. Then the superior is supposed to listen to what his officer is saying. Then he's supposed to come to me and listen to me, what I got to say to him concerning this matter. And that's how it's supposed to be in this country. That's what we're looking for.
That's it. Equal justice.
Equal justice in the country we're looking for. You know, the police do their job. We need them.
Yes, we need
them. But we don't need them to be abusing our family. I mentioned this is most surprising about this, Mr. Ramsey. We're not America. We're not Canada. We are being run by our own, and we still can't get it right. These countries are run by foreigners who came to the country. We in the Bahamas and Jamaica, where all of us are behemoths. And the police is behemoth. The citizens are behemoth. Why are we doing this to one another?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I say this, Scroogey, man. It's something called self-hatred, too, right?
That's what
you
say.
Yes, well, see, because in the U.S., they got racism, right? Sometimes here we got classism. And if you went to this school or you live over here, sometimes I would treat you differently than I treat people in other areas. But really, that's self-hatred, because I should look at you and see that you
are the same.
And I should treat you the way I want to be
treated. So why do police officers, when they get behemoth citizens, they congregate and they abuse people. Like I say, if you're disrespectful towards the police officers, the police officers has a right to do it.
That's right.
But other than that, they just abuse, and they think we're like animals. That's all we are saying.
That's it. So go back to what you said, right? Training.
Treat
it. And not only that, we realize sometimes a hurt child is a dangerous adult. So we may be seeing some hurt children in uniforms. You just never know. Who knows, right?
But the commissioner, the former commissioner said that, you know.
Yeah.
He said, what you get on the force is what comes from the communities.
Yeah, we have it, you know.
And you were correct.
So we may have to go back and deal with some of that trauma.
So, Mr. Ramon Ramsey, tell us a little bit.
Yes.
Your phone number if you want to get in contact with you real quick.
Again, thank you all so much. This has been an awesome show. My name is Ramon Ramsey. I'm a certified light transformational coach, peer support specialist, trauma specialist, and I'm also chief strategist for Dr. David Allen, People Helping People. For those of you that may have youth, men going through different situations, family members, whatever it may be, again, I'm a trauma specialist. You can feel free to reach out to me at Ramsey Global. My phone number is 818-6548 and 808-6996. Again, that's Ramon Ramsey at Ramsey Global. That's 808-6996 and 818-6548.
Thank you very much for tuning in to Inside in the City. We'll see you next week, Friday, on Guardian Radio. I want to say thanks to my sponsors and my partners again. Franny from Bahamas Ways on the continuous support to help me clean up the Grand Sound community that I live in Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street area. And to Rotary Club of Eastern Nassau for always being supportive to me. And for Guardian Radio for having me to have this conversation and to make a difference. And for those in the inner city and the country to have a voice. And a voice that is only for them. So I'd say a very good night to everyone. Enjoy your night. See you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.